Many of us, as we've talked about throughout this passage in this portion of Hebrews 11, realize that the good fight of faith is exactly that, the good fight of faith. That walking in a manner worthy day to day, moment by moment, hour by hour, is not easy. Even though we know the truths that we should abide in Christ, and apart from Him, we can do nothing. The reality is, as we go about our day-to-day lives and encounter the day-to-day struggles, that it is difficult to walk by faith. And also, besides the difficulty of the basic struggles of walking by faith, there are the other things that come in the mix, like false teaching and discouragements and trials. And these Hebrews that we've seen have been going through that. They've been discouraged. They're going through major trials. People in their body are leaving, in a sense, and they're discouraged about that. And the author in chapter 10 says that they are in need of endurance. And he moves into chapter 11, which is about faith and endurance. And I think as we look at today the life of Moses from Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to see in a snapshot how to live the life of faith. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11? You might already be there from Bob reading. Now, I've gone through the context of Hebrews every week, and I think it's important to go through it. And if you know it in your head, that's great. And someone may ask you, well, what's the purpose of Hebrews? And you say, well, it's not to show that Christianity is superior to Judaism. It's to show that Christ and His new covenant is superior to the old covenant, which was a type and shadow of what was to come. That's what Hebrews is about, the superiority of Jesus Christ in His new covenant. And we've seen that. The author has proven that, that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, as the scriptures say, thy throne to the Son, O God, that the only begotten Son is both fully God and fully man and has fully brought redemption. We've seen that in His sacrifice, His once for all sacrifice, that He has brought the forgiveness of sins. And that Jesus Christ mediates a new covenant, which opens the door for a relationship with the living God. We are His people. He is our God. He has brought the forgiveness of sins for us. And we saw the response in chapter 10 to this great salvation that we have, that we should be continually drawing near. Let us therefore draw near. That we can come to the throne of grace now, because everything has been taken out of the way. Our sin, which separated us from God, has been taken out of the way. We've seen that we should continually let us hold fast to our confession of faith. Hold fast to what you believe in your heart and have confessed with your mouth about the person of Jesus Christ. Let us continue to spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us forsake staying apart, as some have made it their habit. And he'll go on and say, remember what happened to you when you came to the Lord, the things you suffered and the joy you had. And he says in chapter 10, he says, you are in need of endurance. And we are in need of endurance. And the lifestyle of the new covenant saints is faith producing endurance. And that's what we're seeing. He's introduced the new covenant. He's introduced the mediator of the new covenant. He's introduced the salvation in Christ. And that lifestyle, chapter 11, is faith. And the results, as we see in chapter 12, are endurance and sometimes discipline. We saw in the beginning of chapter 11 that faith is simply a full assurance of what God has promised in the person of Christ. It is being fully convinced of unseen realities. We saw that faith is founded upon the Word of God. It's not faith in thoughts and ideas. It's faith in what God has said and what He has promised. We've seen that faith only exists in the context of a relationship with the living God. And we've also seen through the examples of Abel, of Enoch, Noah, and Abraham, that faith does not exist apart from obedience. Last week we saw the life of faith exhibited by Abraham, actually 2 weeks ago. And last week we saw the testing of our faith. Abraham called upon to sacrifice what was most important to him, a picture of the Father giving up His Son and providing a substitute in the person of Jesus Christ. We saw how we are to respond in testing. Just like Abraham, simply obey because you believe what God has said. And look beyond the test. And now from the example of Abraham, the author moves on to another example, a witness to the ability of common man to live the life of faith. He gives us the example of Moses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. The first thing we're going to see in the life of faith is the faith of Moses' parents. We're going to see in that a mini picture of faith. Now, you'll remember that after Joseph died, the Israelites increased in number in the land of Egypt, and that a Pharaoh came along approximately 400 or so years later that did not know of Joseph. And he started to get concerned about how many Israelites were propagating the land, that they were becoming more numerous than the Egyptians. And he thought, hey, they might team up with our enemies. They could be a problem. So he put them to hard labor. And then later on, we see that what he did, he decided to have the firstborn males killed. They were to be thrown into the river. The midwives were to kill them, and they were to be thrown into the Nile. It is at this point that Moses is born. And we recount Stephen, as he shares to the Pharisees in Acts 7, recounts this portion. And we also have it in Exodus 2. Acts 17:7. But as the time of promise was approaching, which God had assured to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt until there arose another king over Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. It was he who took shrewd advantage of our race and mistreated our fathers so that they would expose their infants and they would not survive. Now, how is it that Moses' parents are a picture of faith? It says, first of all, verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. He says it was hidden for 3 months. And we probably are asking the question, how is this an act of faith? Moses' parents refused to allow Pharaoh to kill their child, and they took action. We'll see that they decided to do what was right, no matter what the cost. Now, why did they choose to do this? Why did they choose to hide Moses? We see two reasons. First of all, they saw he was a beautiful child. Now, that seems kind of odd. Wouldn't you hide your own child if he was an ugly child also? I mean, you're one and only. I think there's more to this statement, and I think part of it comes from the understanding of what this word beautiful means. The word actually is translated in the NSB and the New King James as beautiful. In the NIV, not ordinary. It speaks of uncommon beauty. It speaks of a special appearance. And I think that Moses' parents knew in some way that Moses was special. I don't know how. We don't have that revealed in the scripture, but obviously we know in hindsight he was special. And there was something about that. And also we see in Acts 7:20, as Stephen recounts this account again, the same word is used as of God looking upon Moses. Acts 7:20, and it was at this time that Moses was born, and he was lovely, same word, in the sight of God. And we know that God does not look at the outside, but he looks at the heart. There was something special about Moses, and we know that Moses found favor in God's sight. Philip Hughes writes concerning this, quoting Calvin, he says, "The parents of Moses were not induced by his beauty to be touched with pity to save him, as men are commonly affected. But there was some sort of mark of excellence to come engraved on that boy which gave promise of something out of the ordinary for him." I think that's probably what it was, that they saw something special, something lovely about him, and they chose by faith to hide him for 3 months. Now, this choice was something that they could have greatly feared, because to disobey Pharaoh would mean your head. And their lives were at stake by hiding Moses also. But it says here that they did not fear, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. The fear of man was not a part of their actions. They simply did the right thing, trusting God without fear of Pharaoh. And I think genuine faith acts apart from fear. Fear is usually what paralyzes us from trusting God and stepping out in faith. And Moses' parents were not held by fear. They stepped out in faith. Their love for the Lord and their love for their son would not allow them to do what was wrong, to allow Moses to be killed. They risked their lives to do the right thing before God. Instead of being paralyzed by fear, they acted wisely in faith, trusting God's sovereign pleasure. Now, I think some of us often have a very naive view of faith. We must understand that faith does not act apart from wisdom at times. Wise action does not cancel out dependent faith. When we lock our doors at night and we pray for protection, it doesn't mean that we're not trusting God. It would be presumptuous to cast care to the wind under the guise of faith. Moses' parents didn't do that. They trusted God, yet they took action and did the right thing and hid the baby. So then, faith acts without fear. And now moving from Moses' parents to Moses himself, what can we observe about the life of Moses concerning true biblical faith? Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. The first thing I think we're going to see here is that true biblical faith decides. It makes a decision. And we are constantly making decisions day in and day out. And I think if you were to follow any one of us over a period of time and look at what we decide to do and what we refuse, you would get a picture of what we treasure in our lives. Moses' life, as revealed by Scripture, shows us that faith first decides. Faith first decides. Let's take a closer look of what Moses by faith refused, and then we'll take a look at what he chose. First of all, Moses refused the world's absolute power, pleasure, and treasure. Verse 24, by faith, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This word refuse is the same word on your bulletins in the front. It says, if you want to follow after me, you must deny yourself or say no to yourself. Moses said no to being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. For 40 years, Moses had lived as Pharaoh's daughter's son. Historians are quite confident that he was in line to be the Pharaoh. And from this passage, it is implied that he certainly was. We saw in Acts 7:21, it says, after he had been exposed, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and nurtured him as her own son. And Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in word and deed. Wait a second. Moses said, I've got a speech problem. God, I can't do what you want me to do. Moses was giving an excuse. This passage says that he was a man of power of words and deed. He was educated in all the learning of Egypt. He was being groomed to be the Pharaoh. He had anything and everything that he wanted. He was being groomed to be the most powerful man on the earth at that time. And Moses refused, said no to the whole thing, to the power, the treasure, and the pleasure. First of all, what did he specifically give up? He gave up absolute earthly power, as we've seen. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said no. Secondly, with this refusal, he gave up all of earthly pleasures, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. That word passing, it means temporal. Paul would write to the Corinthians that we don't look at the things that are unseen because they are temporal. They are passing. Now, folks, don't tell me that sin isn't pleasurable. It is pleasurable. It's fun. It's enjoyable. We wouldn't do it if there wasn't enjoyment to sin. Moses chose to endure the ill treatment with the people of God rather to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. What else did Moses refuse? He refused the treasures of Egypt. Verse 26, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward. Moses could have had it all. He could have had everything. And Moses refused that. And as we'll see what he chose. Now, some of you might be tempted to say, couldn't have Moses been Pharaoh and then made the decision to release the Israelites? Sounds like a good plan, right? Moses understood that being Pharaoh would be a compromise to his faith. That's one of the problems we have in our church these days, is we want to do the right thing, but we are willing to do it through compromise. And Moses was unwilling to do it through compromise, through his own plan. The end never justifies the means. Now, Moses chose to forsake the world and its ways all its power and the possibility even to free God's people, Moses refused all that the world strives for and values. The world strives for power. The world strives for pleasure. The world strives for treasure. That is what keeps the world going, are those things. And Moses refused those things. All these things are temporal and they are fading fast. And more importantly, as we see from the scriptures, sin is deceptive and its pleasures are passing. And the end is death and eternal torment. Paul would say the wages of sin is death. That there is a terrible, terrible eternal sting to choosing to follow sin and self rather than Christ. Now, this is the first half of Moses' decision to reject what the world values, to reject power and pleasure and treasure. What are we striving for in our lives? Does anything that we strive for fall within those categories? Are we striving for power at work or prestige? Are we lording over our families? Are we striving after pleasure, looking for the next thing that will bring us enjoyment in this life? Are we looking for treasure? Are we focused on making money? Are you focused on climbing the ladder at work? Are you focused on increasing your position in ministry? Are you focused on fulfilling your flesh or your felt needs through sex or drugs or alcohol or food or fantasy? Are you seeking to be wealthy? Are you focusing on earning money? All of these lead to death. Jesus would say, "For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Moses refused everything, and we really cannot fathom the depth of what Moses refused. We cannot fathom the depth of what Moses refused. He refused all that the world strives for, and true faith does the same thing, acting decisively by refusing to give into temptation and sin so that one may walk faithfully before the Lord. We've seen what Moses has refused. Now, what did Moses choose? First of all, he chose the reproach of Christ. Verse 25, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses chose to endure ill treatment with the people of God rather to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He chose to be mistreated. Now, he didn't say with the Hebrews, he said with the people of God. His choice was to identify with them and to suffer with them rather to enjoy all that the world had to offer. And this is the lot of every believer. We're called to give up our lives and follow him. We're called to give up everything and follow Jesus Christ. Everything. When Jesus Christ bids a man to come, he bids him to die. And believe me, there is a temporal cost to that. There is a temporal cost to following Jesus Christ. Jesus would say you need to count the cost before you follow me. Jesus never laid out a glossy gospel. He laid out the complete gospel. At a minimum, there is death to self. Luke shares in Luke 9:23, and you have that on your bulletins, and I'll read the whole portion. Jesus says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever wishes to lose his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what shall a man be profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Phil Newton writes, he says, "Do we call him a fool," speaking of Moses, "by leaving the luxuries of Pharaoh's house for mistreatment and suffering and oppression?" Moses made the choice before Pharaoh ever wanted his head. And it was a radical choice. But that is what faith leads us to do. To radically follow after Jesus Christ, even at the cost of suffering for his name's sake. And he continues, and this is powerful. He says, "Some among us are not Christians for this very reason. You are afraid of the costliness of being a Christian. You do not want anyone to think ill of you or to oppress you or to exclude you or to whisper about you. You are more concerned about your comforts than your eternal soul." He says you are more inclined to receive applause of men rather to honor and glorify God. You cannot know Christ and follow after him while trying to curry the world's favor. Faith calls for a decisive choosing. You choose to believe in Jesus Christ. You choose to follow him as a disciple. You choose to face the lot of the people of God living in a world that is hostile to God. Would you be a Christian? Then decisively choose Jesus Christ and the radical life that follows. Jesus states it in this way in John 12:25. He who loves his life loses it. If you love pleasure and you love your own life and you love your own pursuits and you love money, you're going to lose your life. He says, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, let him follow me where I am. There shall my servant also be. And if anyone serves me, the Father will also honor him. Now, why would Moses give up all this? We've seen a glimpse of that. Why would he choose to be ill-treated? Why would he choose to deliberately give up everything to be ill-treated and mistreated with the people of God? We see in verse 26 the answer. He was considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward. Moses considered the reproach of Christ, the mistreatment of being associated with Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. This word considering means to make a decision after carefully weighing the facts. Moses wasn't walking, you know, winging it, just going along the way. He considered completely the implications of his decision. What is the reproach of Christ? The reproach of Christ speaks of insult, disgrace on the account of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Folks, if you believe and you're a believer, you will be reproached for Christ. This is part of our temporal experience. It may come from your family. It may come from your work. It may come from your friends. It may come from the body. It is part of our temporal experience. John writes Jesus' words in John 15, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Brothers and sisters, if you're following Christ, those who don't know Christ are going to hate what you're doing. They're going to hate your lifestyle. They're going to hate your holiness. They're going to hate your faithfulness. They're going to hate what you do. That's why we can't compromise in church and try and win the world through fleshly means. Jesus said clearly, the world will hate you. That's the reproach of Christ because of Jesus. Now, this is truly amazing. Moses did not have much revelation to go upon to make this decision. He did not have the scriptures. What did he have? He had the promise that the seed of Abraham was the promised Messiah, the Christ. Genesis 22:18, God speaking to Abraham, and in your seed all the nations shall be blessed. Galatians 3:16, Paul sharing to the Galatians, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and his seed. He does not say, and to his seeds, plural, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. Moses was simply looking forward to the Messiah, and he chose the reproach of Christ. We have the scriptures, we have the entire Bible, and we have a difficult time choosing to follow Jesus Christ. But Moses was a normal man. Like us. Moses had a promise, and he gave up everything to follow Jesus Christ. Now, in the latter part of verse 26, we get a greater glimpse into the reason why Moses chose ill treatment with the people of God over the treasures of Egypt. It says, for he was looking to the reward. All those in this faith chapter have eternal mindsets. That's the difference. Everyone who is walking by faith here is looking towards eternity. And bypassing the temporal suffering, focusing on the eternal things that have been promised. And Moses was focused on the eternal things. In some sense, Moses understood what Jesus shared on the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Somehow Moses understood about the reward that is tied up in the person of the Messiah, that is tied up in Christ. Moses was focused on the eternal. Now it's interesting, this word looking is actually two words put together, actually. It's apo blepo. And apo means from. Blepo means to see. And what he's saying is Moses turned from to focus on to something. So Moses focused on the reward rather than the treasures of Egypt. That's where we lose it so often. We focus on the struggle. We focus on the temptation. We focus on the sin. We focus on our jobs. We focus on our families. Those are not bad things, but it is bad to focus on those things. We focus on earthly things to the exclusion of the heavenly things. And Moses was looking to the reward. He was looking away from and to the reward. He took his eyes off the treasure and fixed them upon the eternal reward that comes in faith in Jesus Christ. He considered the cost, the temporal cost in light of eternity, nothing compared to the riches of heaven. And that's the decision of faith that you and I must make every time we are tempted, to count the cost, to determine the temporal cost of not going into pleasure, not being fulfilled, not sinning, the temporal cost of following Jesus Christ and being reproached for that versus the great, great reward. And folks, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear that. This is the decision of faith. Now, there's a very practical, important issue that's been set before us in these verses. We are either choosing and giving ourselves to temporal pleasures that the world offers, or we are choosing to follow Jesus Christ, who will reward us in eternity. You have those verses that Paul shares, for momentary light affliction is producing in us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Though we look not at the things that are seen, for the things are temporal, we look at the things that are not seen, for they're eternal. That's the mindset that these men had who endured and made it to the prize. What's your choice? The first may bring some satisfaction and pleasure, but it always ends in death. And if you're a believer, you know and have experienced that death when you sin. We know we're forgiven, but the emptiness, the discipline, the heartache of choosing to follow your own desires. And it also ends with no reward. There is the one in 1 Corinthians 3 that Paul speaks of, who does not build his life upon the foundation of Christ, who makes it to heaven as through fire, as with no reward at all. But following Christ will bring suffering and opposition. If you choose to follow Jesus, you're going to suffer and you're going to be opposed. Know that. The decision of faith says, I choose that. I choose ill treatment with God's people rather than pleasure. That's the decision of faith that we have to make moment by moment, day by day. But the eternal weight of glory far outweighs any hardship or suffering. Now I want to ask you, are you a person of decisive faith? So how can we live the life of faith? Continue to make the decision of true faith, to refuse the world's pleasures and to choose to follow Christ no matter what the cost. For the reward is great. The reward is great. And also we'll see that faith acts upon the decision that is made. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt. He did it. He didn't just decide to do it. He did it. Moses left Egypt, and the word to leave there speaks of forsaking something. It's more than just walking away. Now, for some of you, you're thinking about the situation, and you're aware of what happened to Moses, and you're saying, wait a second. Moses left because he killed the Egyptian. You're saying, that doesn't make sense. I think the resolution comes in this verse, verse 27. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He didn't leave because he feared that he would be killed. So why did he leave? Remember in Acts 7:25, he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. Moses knew that he was going to be the deliverer. He just didn't understand God's timing. He knew that he was going to be the deliverer. He was wondering why the Hebrews weren't going along with him. He knew that he would deliver them. And I think he recognized at that point it wasn't the right time. Again, Philip Hughes explains, it was not out of personal fear of Pharaoh, but the awareness of his destiny as the deliverer of the covenant that caused him to take flight. Had he remained at that juncture, the destiny would have been thwarted, humanly speaking, by his execution. And so, impelled by faith in the divine purpose for his life, Moses took refuge in Midian. I think that's what happened. It says he fled not fearing the king's wrath. Moses departed from Midian in faith. He forsook Egypt in faith. I mean, he was ready to forsake Egypt when he was defending his brethren in Egypt before he killed the Egyptian. He had already made that decision to forsake Egypt. And then it says that he left. So how can we live the life of faith? No, true faith decides. And true faith acts upon that decision. And lastly, true faith endures. Second portion of 27, we'll read 27 again. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. You know, in the context of this portion, I think this verse speaks of the 40 years after he had left Egypt for Midian, that he endured that entire time, that entire 40 years. Think about how difficult that would have been. You know it is God's plan to use you to deliver his people, and you are on the back shelf for 40 years. Folks, we struggle with that. We struggle with areas that we feel God has given us a desire to serve in, and we are put on the back shelf for a time, at least we think. Moses was in need of endurance also, as we were, and he endured. And we'll see how he endured. He endured by looking upon him who is unseen. That's how we endure. We make the decision, we act upon it, and it brings temporal struggle and difficulty. And then we need to endure. And here's how he endured. The scripture says, as seeing, end of verse 27, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. He endured seeing with the eyes of faith the invisible one. That's how we endure. We fix our eyes on Jesus. When you make the choice to follow Christ, there is no other way to endure. You fix your eyes on Jesus. This is how we run with endurance. This is all leading up to chapter 12, where it says, run the race with endurance that is set before us. God sets the race. God sent Moses to Midian. God sets our race before us. We are to be fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Faith endures by focusing on Christ. Second to last, we'll see that we also must have trusted in his substitutional death. Verse 28, by faith he, speaking of Moses again, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. It says by faith he kept. And when you study the scriptures, an important thing to do when there is a line of verbs is to look at their tenses. So far it's been aorist tense, action, 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 action. And now by faith he kept. Perfect tense. Something's up. By faith, he kept the Passover, which means an action in the past which has results into the future. By faith, Moses kept the Passover. This picture of our New Testament covenant redemption in Christ. They had to kill a lamb. They had to take the blood and sprinkle it on the doorposts. And they had to trust God that if they did what he said and believed in him, they would not be touched by death. The wrath of God against sin. And then they ate the lamb. We're told in the New Testament that Jesus is our Passover lamb. John the Baptist would say, behold, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Moses endured because he focused on Christ. Folks, if Christ is not your Passover lamb, you're not going to endure. If you have not come to faith in Jesus Christ, you may be playing the game of a Christian. You may have heard a lot of Christianese. You may know all the things and all the stuff, but if you have not trusted in Christ, if you have not turned to God in faith from your sin, the desire not to sin, I'm not saying you clean up your life and come to Christ. I'm saying you realize you're sinful and you turn to God as a Savior and you repent and believe in him. Folks, if you haven't done that, forget it. Moses kept the Passover. And lastly, we see that by faith, he endured by pressing on. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith they, speaking of the Israelites, in whom we know as Moses was their leader, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Now Moses endured by faith. One thing we don't realize is that at that point the Israelites were complaining. They were wanting to go back even at that point. They were seeing the Egyptians coming. They were upset. And Moses shares to them, Exodus 14:13, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." By faith, he endured pressing on. He trusted God, and God opened up the sea, and God brought him through. Moses endured the complaining of the Israelites. He endured the hardships, and he pressed on by faith. So then how can we live the life of faith? We need to know that true faith decides. It makes a decision to refuse what the world values, to refuse sin and self, to choose to follow Jesus, which includes ill treatment. True faith acts upon that decision in obedience and forsakes and turns to him. True faith endures by focusing on Jesus Christ and trusting in him and fixing your eyes on Jesus. And I want to ask you, have you decided to give up everything to follow Christ? Have you decided to give it all up? Give up church the way you want it? Give up your work the way you want it? Give up your life the way you want it? To be obedient the way he wants it in those areas? To look at him who is unseen? The early church did that. They did that through the scriptures, through prayer, through fellowship. That's how they did it together. He chose to endure ill treatment with the people of God. And they were continually devoted to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer. Faith decides, faith acts, and faith endures. That's what we're called to do. And Lord, we just come before you and we acknowledge our utter failures. Lord, we recognize that it is a battle and a fight, moment by moment, to refuse those earthly things that are continually around us, to forsake those desires and to turn to you and receive your reproach and yet your eternal reward. I pray for this body here, and I pray for everyone here, that we would make a decision to forsake everything the world has to offer, to forsake our desires, our pleasures, to realize that we are not our own. We are bought with a price. And Father, I pray that as we make that choice, that you would remind us to act upon it and to trust and focus on Christ. Give us the strength, Lord God, to do so. Give us the ability to turn our focus and our eyes on Christ. Lord God, thank you that you are trustworthy and faithful, and that you will do that. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name.